This is a prevailing prayer with GSW, an inspiring teaching that nurtures Christians' ability to pray right by the Spirit. This revelation will open your eyes to how to be led by the Holy Spirit in place of prayer. God bless as you listen.
Which learn to pray better, to understand the purpose of why we are gathered, to listen to exhortation, instructions. And today we are going to be talking about God in such a way that I believe will help us. I'm talking about the one who knows tomorrow, following the one who knows tomorrow. The one thing that is sure about life is uncertainty. I had a discussion with a brother this morning. He was telling me about just a few months ago, 7 months ago, how rich he was. And as of today, he had nothing. I prayed with him, and I know that the seasons will turn again to favor him. But that is the substance of what we call life. It is what most of us fear the most. The uncertainty that life entails. We see somebody that is vibrant and healthy today, jumping up and down. Person may even be very rich, maybe a politician, very big, robust, looking good. And while he was still in position, he falls ill. It would just be as if there was a total reversal. Everybody would be saying, but he was still here yesterday. And within a month or two, he will be gone. Same thing with businesses. We started a business, was fledging, was small. By the grace of God, to build it to a point. And at the point you realize something begins to happen. And it will seem everything you throw at it stops. Wouldn't allow it to thrive. Sometimes it is a marriage. You meet somebody and you fall in love. And before God, you saw eternity in his eyes, and he saw eternity in your eyes. Neither of you wanted to deceive each other. Neither of you went into the marriage for gains. You are in the marriage because you should be, because you felt it was the will of God. And suddenly, somewhere down the line, something happens, and Your paths are no longer aligned. And every indication shows that both of you wanted out of the marriage. Life is plagued by uncertainty. And one of the things that many of us would prefer that we think God should give us is that assurance of tomorrow. That no matter what we go through in this life, our tomorrow will be all right. We needed that. Because this year, you may be in Nigeria. Next week, you may be in America. You will be so shocked that an opportunity will come in today, and before you know it, your path has totally changed. You're wondering, is this a good progress? Is it not? Is it the will of God? Is it not? Sometimes you get a promotion. I remember I was talking to a very dear friend and man of God, very, very influential man in Port Harcourt, who told me that he got a promotion in the morning where he was working. And the promotion was supposed to come with a lot of advantages. And within a week or two, the federal government said all those who were of that rank and above should be retired. He said he regretted the promotion. That if they had just waited, that they didn't give that promotion because they weren't looking at their names. They didn't care when they got that rank. But as soon as they got that rank, the federal government just issued their communique and said, all those from the rank of so and so offered, retired them. And then he found himself, he said he heard it on TV. He got home from work, sat down, and then he heard that they've retired all those who are in that rank and above. And he was of that rank, just 2 weeks old in the rank. And that was the end of it. And he said he had to rebuild from the scratch because he had always been in the uniform, he had always been in customs. He had to then again build from the scratch to then become what he became in life. So the one thing we're all sure of is that life is full of uncertainties. The second thing we are sure of, which every one of us can take to the bank, is that life is finite. A day will come, either when the man is young, when he's middle age, or when he's old, he would have to surrender this body. We all know that to be a fact. He would have to surrender this body and move on. Change is always a constant. I was reading a testimony today that somebody sent me. The person said after last week's prophetic service that it was a student in the university in the US, I believe. And then the school already told them that because he missed the payment for his school, that he had to come in next semester to finish his project because he didn't meet up with the deadline. Then the current administration sent a letter to the school or signed an executive order which affected the school. And the school then quickly called all those who are running projects and told them, hey guys, come and defend your project now. No need to wait till next whatever. Because we are not sure if we'll still be in the university or not. We are not sure. Those who will be sacked, those who would resign. And we don't want to put you guys in a limbo. That was how the executive order of the president changed this person's story so that he finished. The prophetic service helped me. Oh, glory! I was supposed to pay extra money. I was supposed to pay to wait in America at least 1 more year to finish my PhD. But I've not finished it. I've not concluded it. And as he was rejoicing, I was seeing another prayer request that was saying that they've sacked all of us because of the executive order of the president. They've sacked all of us. And while I was rejoicing with the first look, I had to tell the second person, it is all for the best. It is all for the best. Your life is not determined by the stroke of any man's pen. Your life is determined by God. You belong to God. You are in God. You are in Christ. You are alive in Christ. And that is the consciousness. That is the reality that believers should walk in. God knows tomorrow. It is a provable fact that if there are people that are more deceitful or or untrustworthy in this life with a human being. And I'm not talking about your friend or your pastor. I'm talking about people generally. Sometimes the people that you think are your friend are not your friend. Sometimes the people that you think are your friend are not your friend. Sometimes the countries that you think are your friend are not your friend. Sometimes the policies that you think are friendly towards you are not really as friendly towards you. As human beings, if we lack the discernment of God, we would embrace somebody that is shooting us in the back. That is the truth. We would be saying thank you to somebody who has taken advantage of us to a T. We'll be saying thank you. We'll be saying the person is generous, the person is kind, the person is nice, and the person has robbed us to a T. And all of us will be fighting for the visa to go to the country of the person. Human beings are always going to be selfish. It is how nature works. Survival of the fittest is always at the back of every civilization. A civilization that is on top of the food chain has to do everything to remain there, even if it has to trample upon the rights of many while looking magnanimous. And the civilization that is under at the bottom of the food chain is always going to remain there unless that civilization decides of its own self not to depend upon the people above him or her for help. Not that they are saying, oh, we are not giving Africa aid. No. African people are complaining now. They are not giving them aid. Because I've always said it, that Africans, they lack the intellectual capacity to think. The day you are going to be free of tyranny is the day that you decide that you will no longer take anything from anybody. For the Bible says that the hand that giveth, the one that gives, is always the more blessed than the one that receives, which means that if your country is collecting a handout, your country will always perpetually remain poor. It's as simple as ABC. As simple as ABC. If you are here, you are listening to me, and all your life, all you do is ask people for handouts. Help me. Help me. I want to pay school fees. Help me. Give me money. I'm hungry. I've not eaten in 3 days. There's no food. So if that is your situation, and that has been your situation for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. I'm sorry for you. You are not going to make it in life unless you change your mindset. You are done for. Personally, I have some friends. I went to secondary school with them. 2019, one of them came and said, oh, I need help. I said, oh, I can help you. Bought him a car. And then this guy came back to me and said, boss, sorry, you bought me a car, but I've now gotten a job. I want to sell the car, but I don't want to sell it at the price of our calling. Can you buy it back for me so that you give me again the money for the car so that I can use the money to pay my house rent and meet other needs? And I was like, wow. Wow. So I had to then buy the car back from him and give the car to somebody else. But from that time, I closed that line between me and those kind of people. And there are plenty people that all they want is handouts. Give me. They have nothing to contribute. They have nothing to give. All they want to is take, 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 take. A Christian can never become anything of value if that is the mindset you have. You must never have the mindset of a beggar if you are going to rule and reign. Mindset is important. I've spoken to us about mindset several times, and I've told you that you govern your character from your mind. If you are going to rule, you will refuse to be a beggar. It is a mindset. Once you refuse to be a beggar, you will notice that your brain will then begin to work, look for other ways through which you can make money legitimately. In as much as you have said, I'm not begging, your brain will no longer think in that direction. So your brain will begin to think in the direction of how to produce means so that you can survive. So you have taken begging out of the equation. So that is how species, that is how survival works. You must eliminate all the dross and then begin to work in refinement of thought as you climb towards the ladder of purpose. It is this mindset that you can use to work with God. Beggars pray all the time, but their prayers are never answered. It's as simple as ABC. The reason their prayers are never answered is because their prayers that they will say, God, send somebody to come and have mercy on me, is depending on somebody else's misfortune. Most people that give to beggars, they give to beggars for two reasons. They know a beggar can never do them any good. They know. They know that the beggar can never reciprocate the gesture. They know that the beggar can never teach them anything. They know that the beggar has no blessing to give them. So why do people give to beggars? One, they give to beggars because sometimes they feel guilty that they have and they want to be kind. Two, they give to beggars because they are in one spiritual problem or the other, and somebody told them that in order to come out of it, they have to give something to a beggar so that the blessing of the beggar can help them. Number three, why do we give to beggars? We give to beggars because we have compassion. We just want to show them some level of mercy. You see, in all those things, a man with the mentality of a beggar therefore cannot work with God because God doesn't want to work with anybody who thinks the way beggars think. Beggars, therefore, are like the vultures of the decomposers of human nature. Yeah, they decompose, they eat decomposed, they eat dead. And so anybody with a beggarly mindset cannot work with God the right way. God is in the business of raising sons, princes, prophets, and kings. That is the nature. If you look at the book of Revelation chapter 5, you will see it there. God says that I will make them a nation of kings and priests. And they will reign, they will rule and reign forever, so they cannot be beggars. So, number one thing I'm addressing, you are following the one who knows tomorrow. I'm trying to show you how to do so. Number one, the right mentality. Number one, you cannot, you must not, you must eschew, you must kill all beggarly tendencies. It doesn't matter whether you don't have food, it is better you die of hunger than beg. It is better to die of hunger than beg. I mean that with all my heart. Christians with the mindset of collecting handouts, of sending messages to people up and down, do weekend for me, do weekend for me. I'm hungry. Give me this, give me that. Those can't be Christians. If they pray and fast, their prayer and fasting, you will see the direction. It is the prayer and fasting of the Nigerian church generally. Send mercy, send some helper to me. Nigerian Christians are fond of praying for helpers to come. It is the beggar's prayer. You will never see it prayed by princes. Oh Lord, thou art my help, has always been the prayer of princes and kings. You are my helper, not send me helper, not send me destiny helper. God is my refuge and my strength. God is my helper. In him will I trust. It is always to God that the believer holds his help. It is not to men. He's not expecting any man to come and help him. He's not expecting anybody else to come and say, oh, they are giving a car. Give me a car. Oh, they are doing this. One man was going, and then he gave me $1,000. All those testimonies that they are beggarly, they are for certain kind of people, they are not for Christians. They share them in church circle, but those who share such testimonies are like that. They are like testimonies themselves. They are beggars. They do not understand what it means to be princes of God. So you must eschew all beggarly tendencies. Number two, you must trust that there is status in God. You must trust that becoming a born-again Christian has upgraded you somehow. You must believe it with all your heart that after you became born again, there is royalty. There is something added to your life. There is something added to your reality. There is an addition. That you are no longer yesterday's man. You are no longer the man of last week. That you are indeed a new creature and that all things truly passed away. You must have that consciousness. It doesn't matter whether you are on this bed, whether a doctor just gave you a bad news. All those are irrelevant. I mean it, irrelevant. A man's situation does not determine the course of his life. A man's understanding of who he is in Christ determines the course of his life. Jesus stood before Pilate. Pilate said, "Do you know that I can determine your future? I can decide whether you live or die." Pilate said so to Jesus like this. You would think that as soon as Pilate said that, the ideal thing to do, because I found myself in that situation before, personally, I mean it. When I was writing, I believe, my WAEC results years ago, I was writing the exam in a village. So I'd written the main exam. I wrote sciences and then I failed. And so I got GCE and then they posted me to this place called the Iroko Community Grammar School. So I went to that Iroko to write the GCE. And when I got there to write the GCE, they started with practical. So I was quite good academically. So a lot of people noticed it early that I was quite good. So they would ask me for to help them. So I would help one or two people. I wasn't born again, so it was physical exam malpractice, but I never saw it like that way. And then one day, the principal of the school, Aditimiri or Olutimiri, that's his name, the man noticed that I was helping somebody. So the man called me and said I should leave the exam hall. So I didn't care. I was leaving. Basically, because all those papers I've already passed them. The only papers I needed to pass were government, literature, CFK, all the other subjects. I've passed them in my first paper. So I just needed the art subjects just so that I can use the 2 results and get one. So I really didn't care. And the man said, "So, where are you going?" I said, "You said I should go. I'm leaving." He said, "Do you know that your fate is in my hand? I can decide you will not write the exam in this school anymore. I can, because of your attitude, I can decide that they will not allow you into any exam hall anymore, and that will be the end of your GCE chair." It dawned on me that it's true. This man had all the power. He was the principal. And rather than do what Jesus did, I became gentle, I became humble. I said, "I'm sorry, sir." He said, "Come here. I'm with your father. Why you don't help anybody? Face your papers, write your papers, and leave." What did I say? I said, "You said I should not help anybody. I should write my paper and leave." He said, "Say it again." I said, "Yes, sir. I will not help anybody. I'll write my papers and I will leave." He said, "Yes, I'll take your word for it." That and I realized that because that part would affect my future, I was humble. Well, Jesus did not become humble. Jesus stood before Pharaoh, Pilate, and Pilate said, "Do you know I can determine your future?" And Jesus told Pilate, "You cannot." Telling you. Because Jesus knew tomorrow. He knew Pilate had no say in his future. He knew Pilate had no say. But Pilate thought he had a say. So in Pilate's mind, Pilate would be thinking, this is a Jewish guy with no rank. No. He could commute this guy's sentence. He could send this guy to Rome. And I have the power to give him back his life. I could resettle him in another community. There's a lot I could do for this guy. This guy, the way we just knew, he knew tomorrow. He knew that the tomorrow Pilate wanted to offer him was not the tomorrow that God wanted him to have. It was sure for him the tomorrow God wanted. God wanted him to spend the following day in the grave. He knew by divine timetable that from the cross to the grave, from the grave, he was going to become resurrect and then he would ascend. So he knew tomorrow. So Jesus Christ pursued the tomorrow, that tomorrow that he knew to a T, while Pharaoh was trying to offer him a way out. I'm saying this to us because we need to know that our tomorrow is secured in Christ. We need to have that assurance. Because if you have that assurance, a lot of options or decisions that you take that you know you shouldn't have taken, but you took them as a result of fear, you wouldn't take them. You will be resolved to do things to set standards that into divine agenda, and that will not make a compromise. It would help you if you know what your tomorrow is like. It will help you to make your decision for today better. Sometimes many of us don't pay attention to the one who knows tomorrow and that our future is in his hand. Third point, as a born-again Christian who has the right mentality and who knows that God can determine his or her tomorrow, when you pray, this is how you pray with this, with the consciousness of this fact. Many of us, our prayers are so based on present and past things. It seems as if we cannot see the future at all. When I hear people pray, they are praying about Father, every strong man in my village. That is in the past. They're no longer in the village. Father, ancestral spirits, that is past. Father, any battle that my parents fought, that is past. Ah, Father, any word that has been spoken into my lineage, that is past. Father, anyone that said I will not make it, that is past. A lot of our prayer requests and our prayer offering unto God regarding our lives belongs to the past. And then after we have like 60% or 65% of prayer requests emanating from the past, we have 25 to 40% of the present, talking about the present. Father, give me this job. Ah, Father, this opening. Father, husband. Father, a baby. Father, I need a new car. Father, I need businesses to come my way. All those prayers belong to your present need. So most of our prayers are crafted from our past and then from our present, but only a few of us. All for the future that God has shown to us that this is your tomorrow. We didn't even know how to know tomorrow, not to talk of pray about it. You know, when Jesus Christ was teaching disciples to pray, Jesus Christ said, Thy kingdom come. What that means is, may tomorrow come. Let tomorrow come. Jesus was constantly aware of tomorrow. Aware that there is a future, he was joyously moving towards that future, without any fear. He knew that it is in the fulfillment of that tomorrow that he would be fulfilled. He couldn't just couldn't be fulfilled today, but it could be fulfilled tomorrow. So he was running towards that tomorrow. He was speaking towards that tomorrow. He was confessing that tomorrow. He was manifesting that tomorrow. And this is how Christians, conscious Christians who are conscious of the Holy Spirit, this is how they pray. They pray with a consciousness of tomorrow. So in order for them to pray right, they pray in the Holy Ghost. While they are praying in the Holy Ghost, they receive words for their future. Hey, Kashatapenya. Rahitiane Pano Shataparate Shitibisikiana. As they pray, they probe the annals of the Spirit. They probe it. They do not just pray from their head. They are praying from their bellies. They are praying in the Spirit. Sometimes they are sitting, sometimes standing, sometimes pacing. Ya kapa, hezuziale, la kapashe tebi. As they pray, the tomorrow will come. Now, the tomorrow that is coming is not always is not always, how do I put it, palatable. So a pastor friend, I want to explain to you why I mean, what I mean by it's not palatable. He was working with PZ, some of their engineers, and he was doing well for himself and his family. One day, he organized a 3-day program in the church. I was his assistant at the time. I organized a 3-day program. As we call that program Solemn Assembly. And all we did was read scripture out loud, pray in the spirit, sing hymns at intervals. It was always my concept of how to worship God. So I've always come up with programs like that for years. I just come out and then we just spend some time praying and then singing to the Lord and then praying in the Holy Ghost and then reading the scriptures. So we would do that. And suddenly while we were doing that, he went into a trance and he saw himself on his field. Green field. Everywhere was green, left, right, and center. Green everywhere. And then he came out of the vision and he said, ha, I'm seeing a green field. I'm seeing myself standing in a green field. Everywhere was green. Everywhere was green. There seemed to be no end to the green vegetation around me. But I knew I wasn't in heaven, so I was wondering, well, where was I? What am I doing here? And then by the Spirit of God, I told him, I said, oh, it means that God has called you to be a missionary, sir. You are going to the mission field. And then he laughed. It was a manager in PZ. Had a good job. The wife was working for Southern Organization of Nigeria. Both of them are a power couple. They have a house of their own in Nigeria, in Magodo. They are doing well. And the last thing on their mind was, become missionaries or traveling. Why would they do that? They have a child who is doing well also. So it was never the plan. But that was what I saw. That was what I interpreted what he saw to be. Less than a year later, we got a letter from above. And the letter says that our provincial headquarters at the time had been given the nation of Jordan to go there and spread the gospel. And he was the one chosen to go. He cried. He couldn't believe it. Of all the people, he didn't even go to mission school. He didn't have any qualification. He said, what? What will I eat? What will I buy for it? That I will leave my job? My belief is a job? No. There was nothing he didn't throw at it. There was nothing leading towards it. He wanted it to be overhauled, to be overturned. He rejected it. But he kept remembering what I told him, and that he saw the vision himself. So every time he would say, I'm going to tell them no, he will feel a restraint. I'm going to tell them no, he will feel a restraint. Because tomorrow came, you see, that vision was tomorrow. And tomorrow came, and tomorrow was not what he was envisaging. He was envisaging himself being promoted or something else. He never thought that his tomorrow would have to do with leaving his job and the wife also leaving her job. And between the two of them, they must have been making quite a lot of money as income at the time. And both of them had to leave it at the same time to go into tomorrow. So they have a choice. Do I trust the one who knows tomorrow and leave this job? Or do I insist on today and refuse to move into tomorrow? So they have an option there. If they stayed with their jobs, they will keep today. They can keep that today for the next 10 years. At the end of the day, both of them will leave the companies they are working for. They are not going to work for that company for life. They will one day be retired. And after they retire, what tomorrow will be waiting for them at that time? Or do they get the option of retiring the time they did and then moving into tomorrow that God has prepared for them? So, as Christians, tomorrow is not always bread and butter, but it is the tomorrow of God. That is the plan of God. And that plan is always faithful and perfect. When my tomorrow came and I had to step out, I never knew a day would come that I would be addressing people from all over the world throughout the month of February. I never even imagined. I remember the first day I opened Twitter in my life, the first day I opened Twitter and said, what is this thing? Let me click on it. The Lord said, open it. I saw the first thing I saw, I said, no. I don't want to be part of something like this. The Lord said, it is a platform. Go there and talk about me. And that was how I began to talk about the Lord on Twitter, as far back as 2011. I never imagined that the day would come that my tomorrow will be what it is today. I had the previous yesterday, but this was tomorrow. This was God's plan. What is the tomorrow God has shown you? Do you have that tomorrow? Are you walking towards that tomorrow? Are you running away from that tomorrow like Jonah? Who God showed that by this time tomorrow be in Nineveh? And Jonah decided, no, God will change my destination. My tomorrow is going to be Tarshish. Are you one of those who didn't trust God enough? Who wouldn't trust God enough with your tomorrow? I will tell you this. There is no fulfillment in any other alternative. The tomorrow that God has given you, we all have options of tomorrows. Jesus was given options. The devil gave him an option. Bow to me and you will not die. Judas gave Jesus an option. Jesus could have run away. Immediately, Jesus told Judas, son of man, go and do whatever I've been led you have to do. Immediately, Judas said like this, if I was in the shoes of Jesus, no, I'm not joking. If I was in Jesus' shoes, I'll think about it. Maybe I will not run. But if I had the opportunity to run, I might take it. I might take it. Yeah. If somebody tells me that, oh, I'm going to go call out mobiles for you, and I had the opportunity to escape before the person comes, why would I wait? But Jesus waited when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying. He was praying about his tomorrow. And then he accepted that tomorrow, even though there were options. Pilate offered him options. Herod would have offered him options. Evans will have imprisoned him like John the Baptist and said, put him in prison. And that will be the end of the matter. At least put him in prison for like a month or two so that all the angry people will go away. Then he can set him free. Will have done that. But that tomorrow was not the tomorrow that God wanted. God is the perfect, perfect author of our tomorrow. We must all learn this. We must be determined that I will not fail the plan of God for my tomorrow. So, in that plan that God has given unto you, there's a bigger plan you are not seeing. But God will show you the part of the plan that you can see and work with. There is always a bigger plan. There is always a bigger plan. There is always a bigger plan. You must always remember that. I do not put my trust in any man. I know my tomorrow is going to be fine. But I also know that in fulfilling my division of God for my tomorrow, division of God for the tomorrow of the world is also being fulfilled. I'm a tiny part of the big plan. But if I play my role and you play your role and every one of us play our roles, we are going to orchestrate a tomorrow. We are going to be the harbinger of a tomorrow that is according to the plan of God. God is the only one that can secure your future. What are you going through today that seems as if it doesn't lead to a good tomorrow? You know, some people say morning shows the day. You have a projection. By the time you are 40, this is what you want to have achieved. You are already past 40, you have not achieved those things. It looks as if today is dire. And you are not sure that tomorrow will be any better, but you are on this call. This today is a day of good news to you. I'd like you to know there are some things that the Lord, by the word of ministers, of his prophets, that God can change. One of them is proxemics, that is positioning. The second is chronemics. That is timing. The Bible said that Elisha went into this tower. And when he got to this tower, a woman saw him, and the woman was like, wow, this man of God is always passing by this place. But there is no hotel around there. There is no hotel for hours. There is no place for him to rest. The woman went to her husband and she said, ah, please, I want us to develop the room on top of the barn outside. I want us to build it up. The husband said, why? He said, because there's a man of God that walks by. He travels through this place. I want him to have somewhere to sleep, to eat, to lay his head. I want us to build that place up for him. And the woman's husband agreed with her, and they built the place. And one day, Elisha was passing by, and the woman approached him and said, man of God, please, we have built a place here for you. We just want you to be laying your head there, to be resting there, to eat there, to before you move on to your next part of your journey. And Elisha felt, wow. This woman must be very mindful of me. And he began to stay there. Bible said, after some time, this woman and Elisha met at the corridor of that house. Elisha asked the woman, what can I do for you? I am a man of influence. Do you want me to talk to the king for you? Do you want me to talk to anybody? Is there anything you need? Can you just tell me so I can repay your good deeds towards me? The woman said she wanted nothing. But Gehazi, the Elisha servant, said, this woman does not have a child. And as Elisha heard that, Elisha said, as a prophet, he said, By this time next year, you will be a mother. All of us remember the story of the king of Samaria and the king of Judah that are going to battle together as friends, and how they got in the wilderness and they became weary because there was no supply, there was no water. And they came to Elisha and they said, "Ah, man of God, please, my sisters are dying. We need water. We don't have water." And Elisha said to them, he said, "There will be no dew, there will be no rain, but this valley shall be filled with water." You see how he did it again. By word of his mouth, he brought water. He brought the manipulated time. Again, during this siege of Samaria, he told them that by this time tomorrow, a shekel of barley, of wheat, will be sold for a certain amount. And the Bible said it was so. Again, manipulating time. One of the things that a prophet can do when he has the opportunity to minister to the children of God generally is to bring time under subjection, is to realign time. He does this through angelic presence, not by himself. Always when he does this, the angels then switch the reality and the time frame to fit perfectly into the word of that servant of God. Ah, today during this program, you will notice that time will shift. You will notice that tomorrow that you are afraid of, it will become a glorious tomorrow. You will notice that the steps you are planning to take towards tomorrow, that seems to have been hanging for so long, the steps will be quickened. You will notice that tomorrow will be less fearful. You will enter this tomorrow with a lot of confidence. And that is because God will show you a tomorrow that is beautiful, that is fit, that is lovely for you. On the eve of the day, Elijah would die. The Bible said, King Azazel of Syria came. And when he came to see Elisha, he came with another king. And some of them saw Elisha. And Elisha saw time, saw in time, saw the future. Elijah decided that he was going to turn that time, turn it in their favor. He said the king should take a bow and arrow and shoot. And the king shot 3 times. Then Elijah said, "You should have shot more than that, because you will have obliterated your enemy to the full." I just want you to see that there is a God that knows tomorrow, and that the ability to make tomorrow okay, to make it all right, to fine-tune tomorrow, to finesse it, to make tomorrow adjust to the realities of the word of God, is in God. If we all will rely on God, it will change our unpleasant stories into pleasant ones. It would hand over the reins of tomorrow to us and command us to rule and reign over it forever and ever. But you have a role to play. If God has already shown you that tomorrow, you must no longer from today behave as if you don't know what tomorrow brings. David knew his tomorrow when he was 16 or 17. Samuel knew his tomorrow when he was 10. Solomon knew his tomorrow when he was in his 30s. Jesus knew his tomorrow when he was also in his 30s. It is important that as we speak today, you search yourself and you look at your tomorrow. This future, that is one of the most precious commodities that any man can have. Is this future bright enough? Is it powerful enough? Is it strong enough? Is it satisfying enough? Have you built it up? Or have you torn it down? Is this tomorrow answering to you? Are you making declarations concerning it? Or are you anxious about it? Are you worried about tomorrow? Or are you confident about tomorrow? Is your tomorrow all right? This is how a Christian who is praying by the Spirit, this is how the Christian obtains the promise. That's what the scripture said. Obtaining the promise means God has said, Abraham, look, I will give you a glorious future. Did Abraham obtain the promise? Yes. Bible said by faith, which means Abraham saw it. And then Abraham lambanoed, Abraham accepted it, Abraham received it, then Abraham began to call it forth. It is important that even if you are here and you do not have a baby, but you want to have one, you are trusting God for it. It is important that as we pray, that you would speak it forth, not as somebody who is just begging for it, but as somebody who has received it, but would like it to manifest now. This is how we control tomorrow. This is how we master tomorrow. God shows it to us. Then we begin to speak of it. We control it. We declare over it. And then we begin to walk in line with that tomorrow. We begin to act it. We become it. And then tomorrow no longer becomes scary. Because when you begin a new race, you have rest. It is towards the end of a race and at the very beginning that you may have a little bit of anxiety. But when you begin a new race, there is rest. What God has told you to do, when you start it, you will notice you'll have rest for your soul. When that rest comes, it then gives you the assurance that, oh, when I pray, I get rest. Ah, that means that this is the tomorrow. Then you begin to cautiously walk towards it. Tomorrow does not happen by itself. People walk tomorrow into being. Innovators, creators, dreamers, thinkers, investors, they hand tomorrow over to us every day in this world. They hand tomorrow to us every day. They hand tomorrow to us every day. They say, hey, this is tomorrow. Look at tomorrow. Look at tomorrow. So that when you see tomorrow, you can easily see where you fit into that tomorrow. And that will be more than enough for you. It is very essential that a Christian would walk with the consciousness of tomorrow. So before we give our offering, I'd like us to pray today. So those who have received their tomorrow and already know the definition, that the direction they are going in life, I'd like you to talk to God and declare that there is nothing standing in the way of that future, that that future is binding according to the word of God. There will be no change, there will be no sifting, there will be no shift. It would happen as the Lord has ordained it, because you know God's plan for you is good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. If you are here and you don't know what that tomorrow is yet, Just say, Father, I thank you because you have revealed my tomorrow to me. I can see it. I know it. I begin to speak it forth. I begin to speak it forth. I begin to call forth my tomorrow. I begin to call it forth. I begin to declare what my tomorrow brings. My tomorrow brings joy, peace, brings healthy children. My tomorrow raises healthy children, children that are balanced, that are not influenced by toxic emotional issues, children that are clean, children that have the right thinking faculty, children that can make decisions for God and for themselves, children that will not be incapacitated or rendered incapacitated by the world, sin, Satan, children that would always stand and declare the counsel and the mandate of God effortlessly. Those are the kind of children that I have that I'm bringing forth. And those are the kind of prayers that I pray for my tomorrow. I know you're praying. Your tomorrow will be all right. Call forth your tomorrow. God is the author of it as he's the author of today. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Jesus is the author of the future, the past, and the present. And the right now is the present. Therefore, where you are, there is present. So you are one step away from the future. Call for the right future. Declare that by the time tomorrow will turn to today, everything God has written about me will be fulfilled. By the time tomorrow will turn to today, every word that has come out of the mouth of God concerning me will not go void. They will be fulfilled by the power of the Holy Spirit. My tomorrow is all right. My tomorrow is fantastic. My tomorrow is awesome. I do not have cancer in my tomorrow. I do not have tumor. I do not have any such things. I am healthy. I'm strong. I'm able. I'm powerful. I belong to the Lord. I will not lose my faith by the time tomorrow comes. Thank you, Father. But the Lord said today, remember that once the Lord has given you a fresh tomorrow, that is your focus. You have no business with the past. You have no business with argument and talks. You know that the Lord has given you your lot. For the day the Lord gave Jacob his tomorrow and called him Israel. From that day, he stopped all contention with his brother. All the Arifaitu, bad rise, this and that stopped because he received his tomorrow. Therefore, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I declare you have received your tomorrow today. The vision of God for your tomorrow is clear. Nobody can tamper with it. Nobody can fight with it. Nobody can take it away. Nobody can tear it. Your tomorrow is all right. Your tomorrow is the perfect definition of how God has laid it down. You would walk into your tomorrow and you will fulfill it. Your days will not be cut short. You will not fall by the wayside. You will run your race till the end, and you would receive all that which the Lord has laid for you at the end of your race. Thank you, Father, for this is done. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, Glory!
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 We hope you have been blessed by the teaching and revelation you heard today. For more spirit-filled teachings, please visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com. God bless.